Yesterday we did it. We're up to page 248. On page 248, yesterday we went to the last three psukim. The Shemesh will turn into darkness, and the pasuk kei lechol asher yikra b'shem Hashem yimolek. What's going to be the achris hayamim? Okay, let's maybe just read the psukim very quickly again. Hashemesh yihap pasuk dalet and hey, page 248, paragimel pasuk dalet v'hei Hashemesh yihafich lechoshech v'hayreich l'dam. The sun will turn into darkness. The moon will turn into blood. Lefnei bo yoyim Hashem ha'gadol v'hanayra. Anyone at that time, times of Mashiach, times of Melchem Mitzgoy Gomog, that calls out to Hashem, will escape. The only place of escape in those days will be in the mountain of Tzion and Yerushalayim. There will be escape. Hashem uva siridim. Only among the remnants, Asher Hashem Koire. We learn two perushim, what this means. Either it means the Siridim who call out to Hashem, or as Rashi says, the Siridim who Hashem calls out to. Who is the one that's calling? Is Hashem the one that's calling, or is the person the one that's calling? The Mitzvah says that the person is calling to Hashem, and Rashi says Hashem is calling out to this person, meaning that Hashem designates an individual to be a survivor in the Melchemes Goyeg Umag. You have to be handpicked to survive Melchemes Goyeg Umag. It's not just a random event. Okay, handpicked. And many people who survived the Holocaust, they actually say that. They actually say is that it does not make any sense why they survived, why everyone else around them perished, and they survived. They were handpicked. And that guilt torments them their whole life. Why did Hashem spare me and not everyone else? What does Hashem, obviously Hashem has a mission, has a purpose, why he handpicked me? And that can be a very heavy burden to carry on your shoulders to fulfill your mission when you know you have been handpicked. And many will of course tell you that the Holocaust was the ultimate Melchemes Goyeg Umagoyeg. Now we did over here in the Mitzvah, we did Rashi. Let's take a look at the Radak. Okay, the Radak, let's start Pasik Dalad and Hey Hashemesh on page 249. Hashemesh Perashnuha. We explained that before, the Shemesh in the previous Pesukim, what the Shemesh refers to. And let's go further. V'hoyo kol asher yikra. Again, on page 249. On page 249, V'hoyo kol asher yikra, O ki oz b'milchemes Goyeg Umagoyeg tiyak tzara gedoyla liYisrael zman mu'at. In the Milchemes Goyeg Umagoyeg, there will be a very great tzara liYisrael, but here he adds zman only for a short amount of time. The Gra says, I don't know how he makes this calculation, the Gra says the entire Milchemes Goyeg Umagoyeg will be, I think what he says, 12 and a half minutes? Something like that? There's a Gra who says the whole Milchemes Goyeg Umagoyeg will take 12 and a half minutes. Now, how did he come to that number? I have no idea. But that's what's famously said over in his name. Kemosh amal oisai zman, chavi kime'ot rega. Hide yourself for just a moment. Kime'at rega, ad yavor zo'am, until the anger passes. So, Melchemes Gomagog in Yeshaya, he indicates it's going to be a very, very short period of time. It's not going to be a prolonged experience. World War II took 6 years. Okay, it was a horror. 6 years of torture, World War II. And that's besides the entire build-up to World War II, the entire between World War I and World War II, right away began. All of the worry, just a continuation. V'yaz yichlu rab miYisrael, many are going to die, it says. It says here a very frightening thing, that in the time of Melchemes Gomagog, many Jews will die. V'yakidoshim, those who fear Hashem, the holy ones and true people who fear Hashem for real, they will escape. Kadosh will be said to him, so here we have a parallel. What Yeshaya said, this pasuk is an exact parallel to what it says here in pasuk Hey. Yeshaya's words were, V'hoya hanishar b'tzion, v'hanoisar b'yushalayim, Kadosh ye omer loy. It will be said about this person, he's a holy man. Because the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to survive, that means Hashem designated, Hashem has spoken, Hashem has declared, this man is holy. If I let him live, it must be that he's something very special. Kadosh Yom Eloi Kol Hakosav L'Chayim B'Yerushalayim. Anyone that's written for life in Yerushalayim. V'chein Amar Kol Asher Yikra B'Shem Hashem. Hu Sheyikra'u Be'emes. Okay, we say an Ashrei every single day. All those that call out to Hashem. Hu Sheyikra'u Be'emes. Kmo Sh'amar Karev Hashem L'Chol. Karev L'Chol Asher Yikra'u Be'emes. Behem Hasridim Asher Hashem Karei. Ki Heim Yikra'uhu Be'emes. The Radak learns like the Mitzudois. The subject is the person. The person is calling out to Hashem. And thus there's repetition in the Pasuk. V'hu yikra oysam avodai v'ahavai. Those are the ones who Hashem is calling my servants and my beloved. Next words in the Radak on page 251. Ki v'har tzion ki sham yalu hagoyim uvas siridim v'apleita tia bas siridim. Okay, these words mean the same thing. Oye perush kore kriyas hagidula v'hakavoid. All word kore means honor. V'chein shalishim ukiruim. The word korui means an honored person. A shalish is an officer. And ukiruim means invited guests, diplomats, and honored people. Kiruei ho'eda. V'karasi li'avdi le'el yakim. V'yonis antirgim korei zomein means to be invited. So according to the second parish of the Radak, it means Uvas siridim asher Hashem kore, which means that Hashem, the other way around, like what the Rashi said, the ones who Hashem designates. The people, the subject is Hashem, and Hashem will designate individuals to be selected special people who will survive Milchemes Goy Gomorrah. Okay, so the Radak is pretty straightforward. Let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim also, I think, is very straightforward. Pasuk Dalid. Pasuk Dalid, the Malbim says, Hashemesh yafich l'choshech, Yashemesh mashpia ho'ira, v'oz yafich l'choshech, v'nei hasreifa v'oshan, sheyetsu mi'chumoy ha'bo'er, k'mo yishenemar, hinei hayem bo'er katanir. Okay, it's a little mystical. Whatever this means is that in the times of Milchemes Gomorrah, the sun will not operate in its usual way. It will turn into darkness. V'hayoreach, Hamoyshel al Halechus. Now he says over here something which I don't necessarily know what this means. The moon rules over moisture. Now I guess the sun is heat, so heat that causes dry, it brings dryness. The moon is the parallel to dryness, it rules over wetness. Now, what does that mean? I have no idea. The only thing that we know what it means, the tide. We know it means gravitational pull. All it means for us that we know it scientifically is that when the moon is close to the earth, there is gravitational pull which pulls the water, which causes the tide to rise high. Even to it can flood the world. It can bring flooding. Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy took place under a full moon. That's why Hurricane Sandy was devastating. It was the perfect storm. A nor'easter at a time of high tide, smack in the middle of the month. If the nor'easter would have taken place in the beginning of the month on Rosh Chodesh, then there would not have been Hurricane Sandy. There would have been Hurricane Sandy, but the devastation would not have been anything near, anything close to what happened. It's because the moon, it was a full moon. A full moon causes the gravitational pull, causes the water to rise. So we have over here, is that what it means? Is that what it means? Or does it mean something more significant, something that scientifically maybe exists, I'm not aware of, is that there is some relationship between the moon and water. I do not know. One thing I learned this not long ago, very interesting idea, is that why is the moon called the Yoreach? So it says this in Chazal. I don't know what this means. Fruits are called the fruit. There's taste. Fruit has taste, and fruit has fragrance. Reach, okay. Re'e reach bini ki reach hasodeh asher beruchoy Hashem. Yitzchok said about Yaakov when he smelled Yaakov, he thought it was Esav. The reach bini is ki reach hasodeh. A sodeh is a place where you grow fruit. Okay, what? That's Reach Nichoyach. Okay, there's something called the Reach Enecham. There is the fragrance of the meat that's burning. Okay, but fruit has its unique unique fragrance. Like there's a special bracha. Hanoisin reach toiv ba peiros. In the nusach, in the siddur, there is a special bracha you are required to make when you smell fruit. Okay, fruit now, it could very well be that in our day and age, the teva is very weak, and the fruits today don't necessarily produce fragrance that we take note of, that we pay attention to. But it would appear, what?
In an orchard, you would probably detect
it. You have to go to different parts of the world. Maybe because of all the processing, the commercial processing of the fruits we have today, you go into a fruit store, you're not overwhelmed by the fragrance of delicious apples and pears and peaches. What? Okay, even an esrog. I don't see people running to make a bracha hanoisin reach toiv ba peiros on an esrog. Even though you can make it. What? Okay, those are the psalmim. That's not the esrog. You're putting just the esrog is going to shrink, so it's going to trap the cloves into the esrog. For some reason, in our day and age, the fragrance of fruit is dull.
Because they're picking them up from the trees, they're shipping them long distances, and on the way, on the shipping, they make it the color with chemicals.
They add chemicals, preservatives.
Preservatives.
The preservatives kill the fragrance, and when they plant it in the ground, they also, pesticides. What?
Before it's ripe,
so it prevents it from properly developing the fragrance. Also, the pesticides also probably kill, or our soil. They say today, I mean, it's well known. They say that the soil in which the fruits grow has been depleted of essential minerals and nutrients, which prevent the fruit from tasting what it used to taste like years ago. This people say, I don't know if it's true or not, that if we go back in time 500 years. We wouldn't even recognize fruit, at least the taste.
And the fruit is not the same, like it's natural, because everything is like it used to be the red delicious or the golden delicious. The smell, now it's just a form.
Everything is chemically engineered today. Yeah. Today everything is engineered. Okay, whatever this means, I don't know. But you cannot ignore the fact, there's a very significant point, is that in the time of Chazal went so far to institute a special bracha when you smell fruit. It's in the Siddur. Hanoisin, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokein, Melech Olam, Hanoisin, Reach, Toiv, Baperos. Did you ever hear someone say this bracha? Some people don't even know that this bracha exists. You tell them something, they say, what are you talking about? I never even heard of this bracha before. And it's in the Siddur. And we cannot, never, ever say this bracha. Why not? Because we don't really sense any special fragrance in fruit. Why not?
Don't tell you smell
even in esrog, it's minor. The fragrance that comes from an esrog, you can smell it. You smell a little bit. But you know, I never saw someone making a bracha on an esrog.
Correct down that the esrog is not mutza on Shabbos because
you can make the bracha on the esrog.
It's not mutza. The other three minimum mutza, but the esrog is not
because you can make the bracha of a nice reach toiv. There is
hanah.
So for whatever reason, you don't see people today running to make a bracha on fruit. And the reason the Mefarshim tell us it has to be, I don't know if this is any historical records to indicate that this is so, is that years ago, go back to the time of Chazal, the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, which was at least 1,000 years ago, if not 2,000 years ago, really it's 2,000 years ago, Kamat, the Anshei Knesset, in that time, the world was a different place. There wasn't as much pollution, and the earth was rich with nutrients and minerals, and the fruit that was produced in this world had a very rich taste and had a very intense fragrance, to the point where Chazal saw it necessary to require a person would derive real benefit, real pleasure when inhaling the fragrance of fruit, and thus they instituted a bracha, which is shocking, because we know today the chomer, the seriousness of what it means to make a bracha, levatala. And yet Chazal went so far to make a bracha. obviously there's something that we are missing. Now, I don't know, I'm going to tell you something now, which I also don't know what it means, and this is what it says in Chazal, is where did the food get its fragrance from? We only associate food with taste. Does it taste good? Does it not taste good? The price is determined on the taste. So the taste obviously comes from the ground. The minerals, the nutrients in the ground is what gives it its taste. Where does the food derive its fragrance? And it says in Chazal, it derives its fragrance from the moon. And that is why the moon is called the Yoreach. Because Yoreach is Miloshein Reach. The moon has influence over the fragrance that enters into the fruit. Now, scientifically, what do the scientists say about that? I have no idea. I never heard such a thing.
Don't tell them.
I never heard such a thing. But this is what it says in Chazal. This is, I'm not making this up. This is a Chazal. I have to quote you chapter and verse. I have it. I'm not sure where I can look it up. I can tell you. But this is what it says. So here when we talk about the moon, and the interesting, the Malam over here, he doesn't say this. The Malam says that the moon is moishel on lechus, on wetness. And yehofech ledom. And that is why, just like in Mitzrayim, the mayim, the drinking water of the Egyptians, turned to blood. So history repeats itself. Here it's not just water that will turn to blood. The object that is the moishel on the mayim will turn to blood. What is the moishel al hamayim? What is moishel? The yoreach. The moon is the moishel. It's the shoresh of the mayim. It will turn into blood. So tachas hamayim yutzer lemer shetshidra hamayim rocha yishtanu lehoyreis al harigois usreifois. The world will change. There will be death. There will be fire. V'chorben. V'chol zeyeh lifnei b'yoyim Hashem ha-gadol sh'yoyim ha-din ha-gadol. When it says the word gadol here, according to the Malbum, the word gadol over here means it's the yoyim ha-din. That's how we're using the word gadol. Next, pasukei v'hoya v'hamoyves ha-sheni yeh al yideh ha-tzolas ha-tzadikim shekol mi sheyikra b'shem Hashem yimoleit. The second moyves, he says, will be regard to the tzadikim who will survive. Anyone who survives is a moifes. Al piderech hateva, there should be no survivors. V'velo tishloit olav, the miracle will be that he will not be hara, evil will not affect him. V'zeyeh b'shnei oifonim, ki b'har tzion v'yishvam shom tiyel pleita. Number one is, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to survive. Shasham yinatzlu kulam. Anyone who has place to stay in Eretz Yisrael will survive. Mulchamas ha-gumava, k'moy shnema. V'hoya ha-nisha b'tzion, like it said in the Radak, Vigam, here he gives us some hope. Even if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael, even those living in Chutz Li'aretz, they were going to be Sridim. So he's coming over here, the Malbim is coming to tell us that indeed there is no repetition. The first half of the Pasuk describes the survivors in Eretz Yisrael. The second half of the Pasuk describes the survivors in Chutz Li'aretz. The gam b'shar mekamel shasham lo yinatzlu kulam tia pleita ba vasiridim asher Hashem korei shemat tzadikim kol hakori. He learns like the mitzudos. The subject is us, are the people who are calling out to Hashem hakori el Hashem u'mispalel elav. Okay, so this concludes Radak. Now let's look at some of the mamori chazal before we go to the chayim asanoch. Let's look at the mamori chazal.
The
mamori. To draw the water up. To bring the water up. Very interesting. That the moon, that's talking about, this is the fruits. The fruits are called the yera. It's called, it's the pasuk. That refers to, he's saying that in order for the fruit to develop, the water has to ascend. And part of the assistance, the way the water ascends through the roots, from the roots to the stem, all the way to the leaves, to the fruit itself, is with the assistance of the gravitational pull of the moon.
And the fruits that you have, it's best to harvest them, let's say, when the moon is full.
Because that's when the gravitational pull. It's a very sensitive gravity thing. See, gravity, I'll tell you something very interesting, guys. I actually had a whole discussion with Rabbi Shmuel about this yesterday. We were learning yesterday about my Bereishis. So when I was back in the day, when I was in college, so in Brooklyn College, on the fourth floor of Ingersoll, everyone here probably knows Ingersoll, the fourth floor, there's a very big, there's a lab. And I forgot the professor, it's a Frum professor, he's a genius, PhD, very, very brilliant person. I forgot his name. And I don't know if he's still there. He worked for NASA, okay, for the space agency.
Teddy Rafin?
Is that his name, Teddy Rafin? Because I was in his class, but I did a project with him. Like at the end of, before you graduate, you have to do computers. You have to do a project. I worked under him for a short period of time, and I got into it. He was very nice. He befriended me, and he was showing me. He told me that NASA wanted to hire him full time to work for them on the space shuttle. And he said the only reason why he did not do it was because it's impossible to be a Shomer Shabbos and work for NASA.
That's not true.
What they wanted him to do.
A month ago, yeah. A guy died, he was in Heimberlin, graduated in the 50s.
Yeah.
His name was Brody.
Yeah.
He got a medical degree and he became an ethicist. And he was the first ethicist
Okay, an ethicist doesn't have to work on Shabbos. Ethicist can work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
He was the ethicist for the New York Times?
I don't know if he was there, but he was from the 60s until he died.
Okay, that's not a kashan. Ethicist is not on call 24/7. When you're working on rockets, and launching missiles and launching a spacecraft, you have to launch in very specific moments. There are very small windows of time when the Earth is aligned in a certain way with the Moon and the other planets, where it's ideal to do certain things. So Shabbos is not in their calculation. They need you to be available for their projects 24/7 on their time scale. So he told me he was working for them, but it got ridiculous what the schedules were in order to. He had to cut himself off from them. But Brooklyn College did develop technology, did develop instruments or different things that were actually on the space shuttle. Things that were on the fourth floor in Brooklyn College in Ingersoll were on a space shuttle, and it was all under his authority and his gun. So he explained to me, he says, what bothers NASA more than anything else? And you're not going to read about this in the news. You're not going to hear about this in the news. You're not going to read about this. But where do they put all of their money and all of their technology and all of their brain power? They put into one thing. There's one thing that they need desperately and they don't have, and if they can solve this problem, they'll be able to do anything that they want, and that is gravity. Gravity. Now, we all watch Star Trek. Star Trek doesn't make one bit of sense because there's gravity on all their spaceships. You never saw anyone floating around. They're going all over the end, wherever they're going. What? They're all walking around and the doors open up. Everything is very high tech, but they're all walking. What? What about gravity? There's no gravity. There's no gravity. They're only flying around. So they'll make believe, oh, there's artificial gravity.
That's called suspension, I believe.
Where in the world, how do you create artificial gravity? It doesn't exist. The only thing they have is, I don't know what it's called in English, is if you spin.
Rotation.
When you spin, that creates artificial gravity, and that is essential. And they spend money and research and brain power to develop gravity because they recognize the most fundamental. Gravity is everything. If a person cannot live for a prolonged period of time out of this world. Because the body was designed to function with gravity. If there's no gravity, the body will ultimately prematurely shut down. You can be there out of space for a short period, and anyone who goes out of Neil Armstrong, he was sick his whole life. Okay, he was sick.
They lose muscle tone.
Anyone who goes to the moon, does not come back the same person. Because the loss of gravity for a prolonged period of time has a permanent, causes permanent damage to a person. Anyone who goes, they sign a disclaimer, they're basically throwing away their life, they're throwing away their health. It's a mitzvah. They don't tell you about this because no one wants to know about this. It's much more sensational that we go to Mars than you should know that the people who go to Mars are giving, they're basically, they're giving up, they're suicidal. Their health is going to be destroyed. Even going to the moon, even going on the space shuttle. Why are the space shuttle trips so short? They don't go there more than, you know, they're now no more space shuttle. But even people who go there to the space stations, it's suicidal. They stay in space stations for a period of time. There's no one that is makir, the koyach and the bria of gravity, how essential it is more than NASA. In all of their experiments. So I was talking to Rabbi Schmidman, who's over here in the shul around the corner, he's learning that, giving shrimp on Mais Liberatius. And we're talking about, where in the Bria is there any mention of gravity? It is so essential for life. Look what we just learned over here, the Yireach. When it comes to fruit, in order for the fruit to develop, you need the moon. And may I just say why? The moon has a gravitational fakert. It pulls the moisture from the roots, from the ground, up, into...
It would not grow down if you didn't have gravity.
What?
If you didn't have gravity, your apple would be growing up.
But you need both. Mayim, you see, look at the combination. The roots and the entire weight of the fruit is down, into the ground, to nurture, to pull out, to connect with the nutrients. But you need the moon, the gravitational pull of the moon... To pull up the nutrients and the water from the ground up into the tree, up into the leaves, up into the fruit, in order that it should produce a quality fruit. So there's gravity going both ways. And the gravity going both ways is this combination, is what creates, we know, fruit. And in many matters that probably are beyond us, the koyach of the moon. And the chlal in general, the fact that the earth, where's the gravity on the earth? Number one, just natural gravity because of the core of the earth. But number two, the fact that the earth spins creates a very powerful gravitational pull. And the fact that the earth rotates around the sun is a gravitational pull. And the fact that the moon is rotating around us also to a degree creates some degree of gravity. Everything in this world, more than air and water, depends on gravity. We think about air, we think about, the most essential thing in life is air, is oxygen, and water. No, there's something that's even more fundamental. Gravity. And in Mais Liberatius, Bereishis, Bara Elokim, Es HaShamayim, V'es HaOretz. And we talk about Or, and we talk about Mayim, we talk about all of the essential elements of creation. What about gravity? Where did that come into play? How does even gravity, what? Okay, so these are all, okay, these are, okay, these, you can, many answers, you could say that when Hashem was toiled in the Oirois, when Hashem put the Shemesh and the Erech into orbit, that was the creation. Okay, you can darshan all you want, but it doesn't, there is no term in the Torah for gravity. At least the way we refer to it in the scientific world. There is no term. It's something which you have to find. Torah, by the way, what does it say about Torah? Hoy kol tzomei l'chul l'mayim, because Torah operates on the principle of gravity. So where does Torah go? To the lowest place. Torah is compared to mayim, and mayim goes all the way, wherever it could, the lowest place it could find itself, it will descend. The essence of Torah is willing to go, operates with the principle of gravity. Because only one who is humble, who is low, who makes himself low, will receive Torah. That metaphor of Torah going down to the lowest place, why does water go down to the lowest place? Water only descends to the lowest place because of the principle of gravity. And Torah can only be received, can only enter a person through gravity. Okay, so there are a lot of different interesting ideas, drushim, that you can work with. But one of the things that we're pointing out over here is we have over here the Yireach. The Yireach more so than the son, is the teaches us, highlights the koyach of gravity for one very simple reason. It's going in the opposite direction. Instead of the gravity being pulling us, the gravity, natural gravity pulling us down, which we know is because of different reasons, the earth spins, the earth is rotating, but the moon is a revelation of hamshocha lamala. Lamala. Klal Yisrael calculates the Jewish calendar based upon the yoreach, not based upon the shemesh. Why? Many, many reasons. We all know there are so many derushim why, but one of the reasons is because we live in a world where the koyach hamshocha is to go down into the olam hagashmi. The only thing that goes against the tide, okay, pun intended, of the koyach hamshocha lamata that we sense and we can perceive in this world is the yoreach. Because when the yoreach is bimeluoy, when the yoreach is in its fullness, in the middle of the month, we see the tide, the mayim is lighter. The water is lighter. Why is the water lighter? Because the water is very sensitive. It's not gashmi. It's not dever gashmi. It's able to rise up. When I say lighter, I don't mean literally lighter in scale. I mean is that the koyach of gravity causes things in the bria that the water is so hard. The tide can be 15 feet even higher sometimes. It's incredible how high the tide can rise because of the koyach of the moon. Correct?
You said it's not gashmi. That's the ultimate gashmi is water.
Why is water the ultimate gashmi?
You don't want to hear Maharal.
Okay.
Because I like to say because it takes the shape of its container.
Okay.
So it's the
Choymer. It's the true Choymer. Okay. Yeah. In that respect. But also in this respect that we see that the moon has the koyach to be nimshach lamala and fruits. The koyach of a fruit, fruits for sure, whatever we say, are associated with the moon. You want to say it's the reach, you want to say it's lachluchis, he just quoted me probably from Wikipedia there, he probably quotes that you need the moon to pull the mayim, the nutrients, up in the stem into the fruits. What is adava ruchni? Adava ruchni is Adam is coming to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's lamala. The earth is adava hagashmi. It pulls the Yetzahar, it's pulling you down into a mundane activity, into the choymer, into physicality. Spirituality is associated with Shamayim. The moon is the koyach, is the dugma in Teva of the koyach of Hamshocha Lemala. Therefore, Klal Yisrael, we have to pick something and to use to calculate the year, the year, the Zmanim, and we want to show that we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kadesh Yisrael VaHazmanim. It's going to be through the moon. Because the moon is the dugma in the Bria of the Koyach Hamshocha Lamala. You're shaking your head, no. Why? You disagree? Okay, Parv. Think about it. All right, so fruits have a lot to do with this. And fruits from all things. And by the way, fruit is also something that is very bizarre because food, we don't need fruit. If Hashem would have made this world where there was no such thing as fruit, we would survive just fine. Just the grains alone and potatoes, meat and potatoes, would be more than enough. And the grass is enough. You get all of your essential minerals and vitamins to live a healthy life without eating fruit. Who says fruit's so good?
Vegas.
Doctors now, they say people, oh, you have to eat the fruit and vegetables. They warn now very clearly, be very careful. Too much fruit is deadly. They warn. They have a lot of warnings. People, they carry, oh, I'm not eating any more cakes and sugars. And only a fruit diet. You'll kill yourself on a fruit diet. And especially too much, there's a lot of sugar in fruit. Too much fruit
grapes,
is...
Grapes have a lot of...
All fruit
is...
But fruit is... Fruit, chazal, is a luxury. It's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown us Tainuk. It's something which man does not need for his existence. It is l'hisaneg al Hashem. It's a bonus. Hashem put us in this world. Hashem gave us delicious fruits. It's tasty. It's an enjoyment. It's the
quality of life.
The Eretz Yisrael specializes in the Shivas Aminim shenishtabach b'hem Eretz Yisrael. If there were not Shivas, if you just had the basic grain, the grains, you'd be fine. It's Hashem's revelation. There's more. There's Tainuk. Where does fruit derive? What is the most important thing fruit needs to survive? The moon. The moon represents the Hamshach Lamala. Tainuk. Just like in the Olam Hagashmi, you need to come on to, you need to be, you need to, you, the moon is what gives the koich of Tainuk. In the spiritual world, his aneg al Hashem, a person also has to elevate himself lamala in matters of ruchnius to lehis aneg al Hashem. Okay, let's go further.
So why isn't it mentioned in the Torah?
What? Gravity?
Yeah, why isn't it mentioned?
Then? Mystery. It's a big mystery. Es Nasu. Nasu, we don't even think about it so much. We take it for granted.
But you're saying it's an element.
It's mamish, the most important thing.
It's even more important.
Certain things are even more important. You can survive a very long time without water, you can survive for a long time. You can survive without a lot of things. But without gravity, you're in trouble very quickly. The effects of the lack of gravity can kill a person. What? Why not? Why don't we have a concept? You have over here something, you let go, and it falls down. Yeah. Why don't we appreciate that? In the beginning of the Bria, there was no gravity.
We didn't know how to have a concept where until Newton came around.
We didn't have the terminology.
Right.
But the appreciation of the Mitzvahs, we had to have. You can't tell me they didn't understand this concept. Look, the whole sugya of this week's parish of If you kill someone with shaygeg, okay, the halachas of if you kill someone by accident, you go into the forest and you're chopping wood and the axe falls down, the blade of the axe falls and kills someone else. So a lot of those halachas are on gravity. There's laws of physics. When are you chayiv? When are you not chayiv? If you go and you throw something, the gravity, we had an appreciation of gravity from day one. In the beginning of my Sibresh, what does it say? It says there was the water, everything was birvuvi. There was water, v'ruach elokim racheves al pnei hamoyim. There was water floating all over the place. Vayom, then Hashem was mavdil, min amayim elyoinim l'mayim tachtoinim. How did heaven come into existence? You can argue gravity. When Hashem created the force of gravity, the pull of this world pulled the water lamata, and this gravity lamala also. Every planet has gravity. There are things in Shemayim that also have gravity, and that pulled water lamala. And what do you have now? A hevdil bin amayim elyoinim lamayim tachtoinim. Because each, what made that separation? What created that separation of water? You can argue Hashem created gravity in this world. He created gravity in the upper worlds. A hemshach, like the moon. The moon has every planet, every star has a gravitational pull. That's why the orbit of the earth is not perfect. The reason why the earth goes in the eclipse does not go
ellipse
and does not go in a circle. And even the ellipse is not the same. There's never 2 years in the history of the world where the ellipse of the earth around the sun is exactly the same path. Because the ellipse of the earth around the sun depends upon the location of the other planets and the other stars, which are exerting a gravitational pull against the earth. So every year when we go around the sun, it's not the same cycle. Because this year when we went around the sun, we were closer to this planet, or we were more distant from that planet, or there were two planets that were next to each other, which together creates a unique pull. Or there were stars, even stars, billions of miles away, have a koyach, many stars, to create a certain pull. So we go around the sun every single year. It's not the same trip. It's not a repeat performance. It's a little different every year. And those little differences, maybe to us, you know, have major effects on the weather, major effects on the way we behave. Okay, we don't even realize the effects it has, all of these things, how it affects the world, and how Menela we are different people because we're not the same people this year as we were last year. It's not just the same thing going around the sun. It's a duderech. It's a whole new world. So when Hashem created the gravity, you know, the Mayim El Yoinim went where it was closest to, and the Mayim Tachtoinim went where it was closest to. Menela, it was a Hevdil. Vayav the Elokim is the creation of gravity. It's something to appreciate. There's something very deep about gravity which requires much, much more understanding. And the place to start with that is fruit. Because from all of the things in this world where Chazal, at least we have Mekoris in Chazal, where there is an appreciation of gravity can be found in fruit, in the Peres. When Moshe Rabbeinu, he's prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Why do you want to go into Eretz Yisrael? V'chi le'echol mi peros? You want some good grapes? You want some nice, good grapes? That way you want to go? You know, you want some Israeli grapes? You don't want to go? You're not satisfied with the grapes of... What does that mean? What does that mean exactly? Fruit represents ruchnius. Why is fruit representing ruchnius? The koyach hamshach lamala. Moshe Rabbeinu, he already had the ultimate koyach hamshach lamala. He was the Av Hanavim in the Midbar. When Chazal, every time the Chazal choose the word fruit, you gotta pay attention to the principle of the moon. Now here, that opens up a whole new world when it says that the yoreach is ledom, blood. What does that mean? When the moon turns into blood, gesundheit, what does that mean? How does the koyach of hamshacha, of gravity, when we now describe the moon as blood, change the entire equation? I don't know. I really don't know, but it's something to think about. Okay, let's go further in the Malbim. What? The fragrance of fruit changed. After the Chorban, you're saying that the bracha was instilled before the Chorban and everything changed. Correct.
And that's the quality of life.
Quality of life changed. Okay, v'hoyu, let's see Pasuk K in the Malbim. On page 249, let's see Pasuk K. V'hoyu, ha'vamayvus ha'sheni. So we actually did that? Did we do that already? Yeah, we did it already? Okay, we did it already. Okay, now, we're about to start the Likutei Shas. Now, I warn you, these Likutei Shas over here, this not typical Mamamar Chazal, they're a bit more difficult. Okay, this is a bit more difficult, they're a bit more challenging. So let's try to figure out together what it means, what these Mamori Chazal are. Some of them are not so easy. Let's see, Pasuk Hey. Kol Asher Yikra B'Shem Hashem. On page 248, where it says in the bottom, Likutei Shas U'Midrashei Hatanoyim. We did Gimel already.
Yeah, but I don't see
Hey. Right after, the third line.
Third line.
The third line down. Okay. Kol Asher Yikra B'Shem Hashem. Now this, I believe, is a Yerushalmi. We're going to read now Yerushalmi, which are very hard words. And fortunately, they translate for us in the bracket. Some of the words have been translated for us. We'll just try to see over here, get at least a little bit of appreciation of what this means. Rebbe Yudon, okay, that's Omar B'Shmei Didei. He says in the name of himself. Is that interesting? He called himself. That's what it says.
Why don't you say Omar?
That's the way the Yerushalmi, that's the shprach. That is the form of expression from the Yerushalmi. We're brainwashed, the Bavli. Okay, we hardly ever learn Yerushalmi. Today, Baruch Hashem, there is all of the new Sfarim, everything has Nekudos and everything is so nice, so we come in contact today much more often with Yerushalmi. Art school, that's you know, I heard that already a long time ago. What?
They came out
Taisus, I saw, yes, Makas, Mr. Masechta Makas. And Uncle Liz is coming out soon, a lot of new things. But, but let's see, Rabbi Yudin Omar Meshmei Didei. He says over in his own name, okay, very bizarre, right? He quotes himself. Basar v'dam yesh loy patroin. Now, what is he in a patroin? Patroin means he has a patron, right? He has someone, an advocate. An advocate. What's the advocate? In bos, bos loy es sara, ein oy nichnas etz loy pisoim, el abov oy med loy al pischoy shel patroinoi. If a person has a tzara, he has a difficulty in life. Ein oy, in bos, who has the tzara? I think it means that if the patron, if the patron, if the person's benefactor, if a person has a benefactor, and the benefactor now is going through a difficult time in his life, I'm not sure I'm saying it was correct. I ran through this very quickly. So what does the person do? He doesn't go into his patron for assistance immediately, but rather he goes in, he goes to the servant, to the secretary, and the secretary tells the patron, the successful person, that there's someone here that wants you. So when the secretary hears, tells the balabayas that there's a person standing outside. So the person, the balabayas, you don't know what's going to happen. The balabayas may say, listen, I'm not going to help. I'm busy now. I'm busy, I can't go every moment, be on call for every guy who comes to my front door. I can't. I'm sorry. Yeah, don't take him into the house. You don't know what's going to happen. So when a person is in an eighth tzara and you need assistance, you really do not know if your benefactor will come through for you this time as well. Each time he comes through for you, that's chesed elyon. You cannot expect every other day he's going to save you. Aval by HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einoi Kein Imbos Al Adam Tzar Rachman Litzlan, a person in the time of difficulty, Lo Yitzach Lo Limichal. You, first of all, we don't go to secretaries. Okay, this is one of the sources why in the Slichos around the corner, many have the custom to skip, to omit certain expressions, Malachi Rachamim, certain slichos, certain machnitzei rachamim, certain expressions, certain piyutim, because those piyutim appear as if we are davening to malachim. This is exactly what this medrash is telling us. You don't go and speak to the secretary, Michoel and Gavriel, lo yitzvach lo le Michoel, v'lo le Gavriel, ela li yitzvach. You request, you have a direct audience with Ribbono shel Olam, v'ani oyne lo miyad, hadohu d'chsef. And the source for this concept is called what we just learned today, Rabbi Isai, believe it or not, is the makar why many people skip on the Yamim Noirayim and Zimei Slichos, those piyutim, those expressions of Machnisei Racham, even though it's a beautiful song, okay, even though there are a lot of nice songs the people have made for it, but it's not something which is said in many circles because we don't pray to angels, we pray only to Hashem. And what's the source? The source, you can go all brag on Yom Narayim. I know the source. We learned it in the morning kollel. It's the pasuk in Yoel. What's Yoel? I never heard of Yoel. Who's Yoel? It's Yoel. And it says here, not only Yoel, Satmar. You're quoting me a Satmar source? It's a pasuk in Sefer Yoel. It says over here. Zuchus Yogin Aleinu. So it's.
Why did you mention the Slichas?
What? Why? Some say it.
Yeah, but it's not.
So what it means, I guess they have a different interpretation of this. They have a different interpretation of this chazal. Whatever it means, the different opinions, the different mahalchim of how to work with it. I don't know. Many do say it. I think most shuls do say it. I think more in the yeshiva world. The more the yeshiva world, they don't say it. But the average.
Chaim
Blum did not say it. Yeshiva world, they don't say it. But like you go to a regular in Israel. You go to a regular standard shul, they do say it. Okay, in the Siddurim, they print it for a reason.
They need all the help they can get.
And believe me, in the yeshiva world, they need even more help. Believe me. Okay, the Siv. Kol asher yikra b'shem Hashem yimolet. It says here, the Farish, all those who call out the name of Hashem, they will escape. Amar Pinchas, oyvoda havrav brav. There was a maisa shehoya. Everyone likes stories. To have oil. That the waters flooded. Okay, it seems that the Ole, there was a flood. The rivers were flooding. A hurricane Sandy. There's a hurricane Sandy with sakonis nefashas. So pogubo ramoi amrule man min at. Okay, maybe I'm maybe wrong.
Oil from the
oil mechamta mechame de teria. They came up. Uvda hava bidraf. To have oil, he came up fine. He came out of the bath. Okay, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Okay, I'm sorry. He came out of the bath. And who did he meet? Pagu bar Roimar. He met the Romans, some Roman soldiers. They said to him, Min demanat, from who are you? Amar lohan, he told them, Min dis soif yonus moishel tveria ufanine hanichuli. I'm a ruler. He told him that don't bother me. I guess they wanted to harm him, and he said, "I'm an officer. I have a special pass. Don't start up with me. I am connected. I'm well connected. Okay, you're gonna lose your. You're gonna lose your job if you start with me. Hanichuli." However, Beramsha, which means in the evening, Asu Haramoyim Lagabe, they came to him. This Soif Yonus, Vulo Ro Esraf Shon, they didn't see him there. So Amule, at Emose at Mikhaim im Oime Litzad Elain Yehudoi. So I guess that means they discovered he was a liar. I'm not exactly sure what this means. I think what it means over here is that in the evening they went to the Roman headquarters. And they investigated, is he really an officer in the Roman government? And they said he's not. So they went back and they said, you're a liar. So Omar Loin Lama Omrin Le Pog Inan Bechad Omrin Le Yehudai Varminin Le Min Deman At Omar Loin Dis Soif Yonos Omar Lohoin Umay Avditun Le. So they told over the story. We met a person and he told us, who are you? He told us he's an officer. And now we know that he's not. So they said, what did you do to him? We let him alone. You did good. Why? So what did he mean over here? I'm not exactly sure with this story. I really don't know what this means. I tried, I prepared this in advance. I thought maybe when I go with you, the Zuchus
Rabim. The Roman governor has such a munna, it sounds like. Right?
No, I don't know. I thought in the Zuchus Rabim, I would understand this a little bit better. He said that these people...
It sounds like he was saying it's a good thing you didn't start off with.
Right.
Because he's got a...
He has good connections in Shemayim. So therefore, what's the source for this? A person who is in the name of Yikra B'Shem Hashem, he is Yimolet. Someone told me a beautiful story. I'll give you an example. We'll stop over because we're out of time. I'll give you a story about Reverend Feinstein was just nifty. You know that. So you just want to know someone who's called B'Shem Hashem. So someone told me that there was a person who got into a car accident many, many years ago. A Jewish fellow, a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, you know, with a beard and a hat, and he was a fender bender. He went and he banged into the car of a non-Jewish woman. He got out of the car, he went over to the non-Jewish woman, he said to her, I'm sorry, I banged into your car, are you okay? Everything okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I've caused damage to your car, I'm 100% guilty, this is all my fault. I know I'm guilty. Here's my telephone number. Here's my insurance. I'm going to pay for everything. Do not worry. Here's my telephone number. She looks at him, and she says, "Okay." A few days later, shortly later, he calls her up and he sends me and they discuss. And she took the car to the mechanic to the collision person, whatever it is, and they gave an estimate of how much it'll cost to repair. And he said, fine, but let me ask you a favor. Maybe I have someone that I work with. He does this also. He can probably give me a much better price. Would you mind if I ask him to give an estimate? So she says, she looks, says, fine. The person comes, gives an estimate. It was a lot cheaper. He does the work. The work was perfect. In addition to that, he had to pay the money. He told her how the payment was made. He said to her, I owe you the money. Would it be okay with you? I'm not a rich man. I'm a teacher. I'm a school teacher. yeshiva, would it be okay if I pay you the money in installments? I can't pay all the money in one shot. I'll pay you in installments. So she looks at him and she says, okay, it's fine. So he pays. He went on probably for a period of time, and there came the day to pay the last payment. He comes to her with the last payment. So he says, before I give you the last payment, I want to ask you one question. How come that when I got into the accident, you didn't get all worked up? You're not a rich person. I know. You need the money. There's a serious business here. You didn't get all worked up. When I told you I'm going to pay you, you trusted me. When I brought the car for the collision, and I told you I have someone that can do it a little cheaper, you said, yeah, fine. When I told you I'm going to pay you out over time, you said it's okay. Why were you so easygoing with me? The average person would never, ever, never trust me and let me do all these things. So she said to him, I looked at you, and you know what I do? You know, I'm a public school teacher. You work in the yeshiva, I work in the public school system. In the public school system, there is a frum woman whose name is Sheila Feinstein. And she, I know her, I work with her, she's a person of impeccable integrity. And I looked at you, and I said, you're part of her tribe. And if you're part of her tribe, I can trust you. I can trust you. You answer to a higher authority. Like this story, that's why it reminded me of this story. Who are you? This is a Jew. He answers to a higher authority. It's a good thing you didn't check it with him. Kol asher yikore b'shem Hashem yimolet. What a Kiddush Hashem. It's an awesome Kiddush Hashem. You don't know how far it goes to be a person of integrity, how it affects, it radiates. It radiates throughout the world. Kol asher yikore b'shem Hashem yimolet. Don't underestimate the koyach of making a Kiddush Hashem. Okay, we'll continue next week over here.